in April 16th, 1907, in the farm home, which my grandfather built after he got through with the log cabin, had money to do it. And I'm not sure who the doctor in attendance was, but it was probably Dr. Slepica.
Where was he from?
Well, from Sutton's Bay.
Oh, from Sutton's
mm-hmm.
Bay.
He was an interesting guy. He would give the shirt off his back, and he would come out here to make a call, which they did those days, doctors, for $5, and he had hired a teamster out of that $5. Hired a teamster and a team, so I don't know how much he got out of it. But he was quite a guy. This one time, this Dr. Slepica, when I was just a kid, and cars were came into being, Ford cars, he made a call at one of our neighbors a couple of miles away at 2 or 3 in the morning, some emergency. And my dad was not the closest neighbor at that time, but on his way home, the poor guy fell asleep, ran in a ditch. He wouldn't go to the next door neighbor, but he walked a mile extra to get to my dad, to get him out of bed, to pull him out. Because my dad was that sort of a guy, and a lot of people, you know, say, hell with you. I guess that's the attitude. But I always remember that.
Was he your family doctor?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What did you do for dental work?
Well, we had a doctor for dental work in Sutton's Bay by the name of Dr. Payne. Can you imagine that? But, you know, we seldom got any dental care unless you had a bad toothache, and I guess that's why I got a couple falsies.
Did you have any illnesses when you were growing up? Do you remember any in your family?
No.
Childhood diseases? Or?
Oh, I had a lot of little diseases. I was the one that was always sick and needed the doctor, and my brother seemed to get by, and I mean, I don't know if I was a rascal or what. One time my mouth all broke out, and instead of taking me to the doctor, they got the doctor up. Doctor says, he looked in my mouth, he says, I know what's the matter with him. He's got a broken piece of lid in that hollow tooth, and that's poisoning him. He got that out. Isn't that something? So we didn't have too much experience with the dentist, to my knowledge.
That's
all my parents. And my brother's got mostly partial. My brother got the home farm he had. He was a little better off than I was in going to the dentist. And of course, a new dentist came in the meantime, you know. My brother had one tooth pulled, I remember, without taking anything. It pretty near killed him. Yeah, that's my own.
Do you remember funerals when you were a kid, and where would they be held? Do you remember anything about them?
Yes, I do remember about funerals a little bit. Being born and dying was a sort of a whole event. It usually shook up the whole community. And I recall when my one of my grandparents died, they had the funeral out of the house first. They had a little service there, then they'd go to the schoolhouse over there. This was too far away to drive with the horses, and from there to the cemetery, and they'd bury it. And I don't remember who the sexton was way back then, but I remember one of the funerals, which was in March, and we had had a hard winter. course, all the neighbors come with their sleighs and families. And the day before, a bunch of neighbors came in and shoveled almost down to the ground, you know, wide enough to make a circle for the people to get in and out. Yeah, those funerals were quite an event.
Now, Ed, I'm going to ask you about school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's start with the name of the school you attended, where it is, and we'll go on from there.
Okay.
Where did you attend school?
as a kid of five or six, I attended the local school, which was about a good 3/4 mile from our house. It's located on Esch Road. It was called East Leland School District Number 1, if I remember right. And of course we walked. And those days, farmers were out almost every day with horses. There all seemed to be a road, or as we got older, we had skis. We never missed school on kind of weather. So those were interesting days down in the grade school. One teacher taught 8 grades. She got there early in the morning and built the fire and swept the place out. And every recess and noon hour, we'd have our skis and sleighs. We were at the bottom of a hill there. You don't know the road there, but it's between the cemetery hill and the Waterman Hill. That was a big like that. It was a great place to have fun. And then as spring came along, seems we always had a lot of snow those days. And then you'd have a thawy day and the snow would melt and then it would freeze and you would have crust, and oh, that was fun. You could go all over down those hills with those sleighs. Well, that much for my eighth grade education. We, in order to pass the eighth grade education test, you had to write an exam for the county. And that was written those days, had to come over here to the Leland School. And somebody in charge from the county would engineer it. And you wrote for 2 days. You couldn't write it all in one day. You had to find a place to stay overnight or go home. And I remember in my case, I stayed overnight in that house that's directly this side of the school there. And that was my dad's half-uncle, Dick Steffens. So there was a combination there. So anyway, I managed to get through the eighth grade, and then I went to high school.
Did you have to pass that test to go on to high school?
I don't know what the requirements were in high school, but I assumed so. I assumed so.
All the kids didn't go on to high school.
All the kids did not go.
Yeah.
No, that's right. And we were 5 miles from Sutton's Bay and 7.5 from Leland. And Leland only had 10 grades those days. So anyway, Sutton's Bay was closer, and my parents, my mother particularly, my mother engineered that stuff. My dad, he was just a working guy. So I went to school down there, and my brother had already gone. He was 2 years ahead of me. So then we drove with a horse and buggy for a year or so. And then my dad, shortly after that, he kept my brother home, figured he needed him for the farm to run that second team. So then I was on my own to go to school, but then we teamed up with two of the neighbors, and...
Do you remember their names?
The Johnson family and the Bramer family, yeah. And we got together and took turns driving. The Bramer family, the Bramer house is where Gary Bardenhagen, our supervisor, is. That was the Bramer family. There was a shirt tail relation there. Fact is, well, third generation there. Their grandmother and my grandmother were sisters way back, so that made me second cousins, I guess. But the Johnsons, they were of Norwegian descent. We were no relation to them. One of the Johnson granddaughters is still going, and she's the manager of the bank down right now, Sutton's Bay. Let's see, so I went to high school for 4 years, and I was in a few plays down there, which was hard to maneuver because you'd be home and you'd have to go down to practice and so on. And I was in one or two, what they call declamation contests. And
you played basketball?
I played basketball for my two last years down there. Played running guard. Which, you remember Donald Chalner, who was up there?
Yes.
He and I were competitors.
You lived in Sutton's Bay in the winter when you were going to school.
Yes, for a couple of winters. I lived down there, and we took a basket of food. My parents would take me down on a Sunday night, or my brother would, and take the food into this house. And the house, I can pick it out right now. It was right downtown. It was above the central office. I don't know if you remember the Lunds and their central office. No, probably not. Well, one of the girls was a cousin, I believe, of the Lunds. So she rented that room, and she had two roommates. One was a Weiler, and one was a Bramer. And I stayed down along with two boys in a house down where the opposite, where the blacksmith shop is, almost the other end of town. And so we would get together and have our meals together. The girls would cook that. I still think we owe them something for all they did for us. So I was available to play basketball that way and didn't have to commute and go back and forth.
After you attended high school, what happened then?
After I attended high school, well, my mother wanted me to go on to college. She was all for education, even though she didn't have much herself. And I had no choice, and I was sort of dumb anyway. I don't know if I'd have had a good choice. I probably would have chosen the state. But I had to go to Valparaiso because that was a Lutheran church school. And the summer before I went, I was supposed to go out and earn money for, to go to college with. And so I got a job with the County Road Commission, and they ran a gravel screen, and they would do a section here and there. And that summer, I only moved two different places, but I started working behind Bob Krieger's farm, right where he grows strawberries now, over the top of the whole works. Big gravel pit, big gravel screen where they crush the gravel and use the crushed gravel in the road. And they hauled it out. Model T trucks were just coming into business, in sort of a big way. They could haul 1 yard at a time. And that's when they did all that piece of road along the east side of the lake, from the head of the lake down about 4 miles, something like that. And then before the end of the season, we got done with that. Then they moved it up into the French settlement, and I worked there too. I got promoted from working in the gravel pit to a loader. I only had to just let down a big sort of a shovel affair from 3 different grades just to fill the truck. That was quite a job. I should have stayed on that. That was a good job. Anyway, fall came, and my folks took me to Valparaiso. So I went to school there in the engineering department, and there was nothing great about there. The buildings were old and run down. Nice group of people, and I just stayed in the ordinary boarding house first, and had meals in the school cafeteria. And then after I got to wrestling a little bit, we had intramural wrestling, and one of the, what do you call a group of people that are together?
Clubs or fraternity or something?
Fraternity, yeah. And one of the fraternities saw fit to, they thought I might get to be a big wrestler. They invited me in. That's the way I interpret it. So, and for 2 years, I belonged to Cap Iota Pi, which was mostly a social organization. That part of it was enjoyable. And I got going with a girl down there a little bit who was the dean's daughter. Met her skating. She was a good skater, and I liked to skate. And there was a pond down there. They called it Sager's Lake, Artificial Lake. So that didn't materialize. I lost interest, I guess. Then we skated also. The engineers used to take on the lawyers, and we could usually beat them playing at a hockey game. And I also belonged to the choir, which I shouldn't have in a way. An engineering course is a deep, heavy course, and you got to put a lot of time in it. And I was traveling around when I should have been steady, but I had a lot of fun. So I was I didn't have it from the background and a lot of things that a lot of folks nowadays, we didn't have this small school background or anything, you know, you didn't have it in your parents, they couldn't talk about any of that stuff, you know. So I got through there and got a job in the development department. It lasted 6 months. Then the depression came along. And that's when I moved back up into East Leland, near home. Stayed with my parents for a couple of years. Worked out here and there. So I had a stormy life, I guess.
Just let you talk about your recreation.
Yeah, for recreation, as a young man, of course, we all had a girlfriend, most of us. But we had one of the guys was a good baseball player, and he organized a baseball team. And so we had a game once in a while with Lake Leland, all that's about all that I recall. And then along there, depression days, I organized a horseshoe club for anybody in the community that was interested, and that took in I was maybe 20 some years old, but we took in any farmer who was 60 or wanted to play. That was a Sunday afternoon recreation and sociability. And we used to have picnics and go here, thither, and yon. And as we got a girlfriend, we'd spend time with them, going to maybe crawling up Sugarloaf, which was wild country those days. I remember one time crawling up there with a girlfriend. We took our lunch along. There was about three or four couples. And lugged all our stuff up there on a hot Sunday and ate lunch up there.
You said that you were very active in choirs. Were you? What did you do in the choirs around Leland O'Connell?
Yeah, this happened mostly after I was married and settled down a little more. We had a choir masterminded, so to speak, by a Reverend Branstead of Sutton's Bay First Lutheran Church. And his wife was a number one pianist, so the two worked very good together. And while he was here several years, that was a very active organization, and we sang at various places then. And the whole county was involved, anybody that wanted to be, I guess. And of course, we had our own church choir here. And we had our own little orchestra within the church. It was engineered by Theodore Esch from Esch Road. He was, if you read all this, you'll find out he was a musician. And we had a lot of fun. I played the saxophone. And we had a pianist, and a trumpet player, and a couple of violinists, and their young son who was 7 or 8, they had him playing the drums. I wish we'd had a picture of him. He was cute, running those drums. He could do it.
And you told me that you were self-taught on the saxophone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I learned, I took music lessons when I was in the younger grades, and I got to know the whole works of the keyboard and the bass clef and the treble clef. So from then on, I taught myself a little bit, enough to get by.
the next item is your family's church and social life. And who are your family's friends? Do you remember, what did your family do to socialize? Was it relatives or did with the church? Or how did they spend their time together in socializing with other people?
Well, of course, there's the church proper, and of course, there's things that would come up within the church. And then those days, our community, as I was a kid, there was all a tie-in with almost everybody. And if there was any a wedding or any event like that, that was a pretty big affair. We'd get in on that. And orchestra would play at special events. Yes, we did play at a few weddings, I recall, just as a little entertainment. Just we didn't charge. I mean, that was just a fun thing.
Were holidays a big thing then in your, that you
could
remember?
Oh, as I was growing up, yeah, they were quite big. My mother was the type of person that wanted to be a good United States citizen and a patriot. And when a holiday would come up, we would usually celebrate it some way, maybe a picnic or something. And usually the town would have something going, you know. And my dad might tell us the day before or that morning, if we get this work done, we can go. So he used us that way a little bit. So we would work like a son of a gun to get out and go somewhere, you know.
Now the next question is dating and marriage.
Hmm.
who, and when?
This is still on, is it?
Uh-huh.
Well, as a young man, I suppose I wasn't supposed to hear about, but I'd heard about bundling, and you sure have too. And I've got a book from early history laying right over there now that got a picture of it. And dating and marriage, I guess, is the same as they carried on, to my knowledge, all through the years in Germany or Sweden or wherever they were. You dated, you went to see your girl maybe once a week. Those days you used horses, you know. And so it was cheap, but you had to hitch up your horse. And as I grew up, of course, we had a car. I had a Model T, which I went to call on her. Sunday afternoon, we'd go riding, maybe swimming, or walking in the woods. Usually there's two or three couples who get together, have a party.
Was the lake a large part of your recreation?
Well, quite large. My dad was not particularly a water guy. He didn't go fishing. I just remember once or twice we went fishing. But he did allow us to walk down to the lake and go swimming, which was quite a treat those days. We were a mile and a half away. And then some years later, as we got bigger, he would let us use one of the workhorses to ride down once in a while. So there was the headquarters down here, which we called Mossy Parlor, down there where Dr. Poole is. That property's got really quite a history, which he maybe doesn't really know too much about. But that was our headquarters for swimming. In fact, just after, I remember after silo filling, which was quite an event, when you'd get done and the weather would be hot, everybody would shut off, go down to the lake for a swim to cool off, kind of a celebration, you know. Those old timers, they had their ways of celebrating in their own way, which they got as much kick out of as really they do, you know, the modern. They all had their own way of doing things. So,
well, I know music was a large part of everybody's recreation.
Yeah, my old granddad was sort of a musician. We always had that old-fashioned pump organ, you know. And when he died, then I was allowed to play on it, see? So we always had a little music every morning in our school over there. And my folks would hear me tapping out various songs, you know. They decided I should take music lessons. So that's the way I got into music.
An interesting thing you told me about after you went into farming, how you supplemented your income with chickens. And I wish you'd tell us that story.
Yeah, when we started farming, my dad bought this farm. In fact, it's next door, practically. And it was a farm that a gentleman had rented to his brother, and his brother never paid him a nickel. And his brother wanted it off, wanted the money, and it was 1932, and if you could get a hold of some money, you know. So my dad said, and he wanted me on a farm anyway, and he told this guy, he said, if you get your brother off of there, I'll buy it, which did occur then. So we took that over, and this guy, as he left, his last parting thrust was something he threw through a big window, smashed it. Well, anyway, what I'm trying to bring out here is there was nothing on the place. It was as bare as a tin roof. And So my dad wanted, my dad and brother were farming the home place, and he wanted it to be a three-way fair on the two farms, which we did then from 1934, about the year I was married, until 41. And he wanted to retire, and he could see the picture that there wasn't going to be too much harmony between my brother and I, which was the best thing that ever happened, because we didn't never did see eye to eye at all on business. He was just made a little different. I don't want to put all this down on tape. Anyway, then I went into farming on my own. I had to decide whether to buy a team of horses for maybe $300, $400, or $500, or buy a tractor. And my little brain finally figured out that if I bought a tractor, I could have time on my own a little bit to work out. So, which we did. In addition to working out, we went into chicken. I built a brooder coop, and we'd have three batches of chicken.